Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
And our resident gunner Vijay.
What's up?
Alright, so welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible soccer podcast that looks at all things sensible on the football field. And we always file our transfer papers on time. Okay, which brings us to...
Which makes me a silent spectator.
This week, we begin with you, Vishal.
Yes.
And would you want to give us a guided tour of the insides of Louis van Gaal's mind?
Oh no, I don't want to go in there, but I have no idea what has happened between him and...
Okay, so let's assess the transfer window. It's been a very... Well, it looked like a mixed window for a while, but now it's gone downhill.
So yes, I thought it was set up brilliantly well, where they started with the signing of Depay. Then they brought in Schneiderlin, they brought in Schweinsteiger, they brought in Damien. And I thought they had set up the base well enough to build the squad. So while they had set up the midfield, they fixed a problem in defense. They needed one more defender. They needed a couple of strikers. I thought they set it up well. And then all hell breaks loose. They sell players left, right and centre. They did not replace anybody. And now we barely have a squad. And we paid 36 million for a 19-year-old unproven teenager who might be the next Thierry Henry Welchers.
So where do you think United went wrong, in the sense that the handling of the De Gea transfer has not earned them...
That's appalling, honestly, because at a very basic level, I think De Gea has handled wrong, because end of the day, he's not agreeing to sign a new contract. That means you make money off him while you can. If it's 10 million, if it's 20 million, you make money off him when you can. Now you're going to be compelled to sell him for free next season, where you do not make any money out of this. And you're a player who's not motivated to play for you. He does not want to be a United player. Why do you want to hold him back? And this is a club that was managed by a person who once clearly said no player is bigger than the club, and sold Cristiano Ronaldo, who is Madrid are holding on to for dear life. So from a club from who had that philosophy to such... I think it was sneaky and underhanded even to do this to a player, because I don't think any player deserves to be treated like that. If he wants out, he deserves to be let go. So I think leaving the transfers aside, there are a lot of unhappy players within United. Anybody who's left United has come back and said it out loud and open that Van Gaal's philosophy just does not fit anybody. And I still think he might get you the results. I still think he's going to be efficient and might get you the results, but I think by the end of his reign, United will have far more problems to fix than...
So essentially, they might have to go for the reboot button again.
For sure.
Okay.
So one way or the other.
Okay. And moving from one extreme of extreme transfer activity, a lot of controversy, a lot of discussion, to the other extreme, which is the deathly silence if there was a transfer room in Arsenal. Vijay, Arsenal's got a good squad, but did they need reinforcements, additions?
Definitely. I think they needed at least three more outfield players, if not... three was definitely what we needed. We needed one backup central defender for sure. We needed one more central defensive midfielder, because if Coughlin's engine runs out, you don't have a backup. And we definitely needed a 20-goal striker. I don't know why Wenger fails to see that, because Arsenal, if you see, have created most goal-scoring chances this season, probably behind City, and have converted... probably like three goals. So yeah, if that doesn't shout out to you that you need a striker, I don't know.
So I think from a pure squad perspective, Arsenal had this season set up for them. So
they have a super strong squad.
And they started great by signing the one weakest spot, which was their goalkeeper. They've gotten a world-class goalkeeper. All you needed to do is, even if they did not sign a backup
midfielder,
they just needed to go out there and
get one striker.
Get a Benzema, get a Cavani, who was required, and go all out for
it. Pay the money for them.
Pay the money because you have the money.
Guys like City have an Aguero who, even if he's in bad form, he will produce goals for you.
Yeah.
And that is what Arsenal lack. If Giroud's out of form, he will probably...
This might cost Arsenal the title this year. And because City have been extremely great in their transfers this season, they've not gone all out, they've not hit the panic button, they've signed an Otamendi because Mangala cannot defend. And they've signed a De Bruyne because we all know Toure can be moody. So they're making all the right signings. So they've signed 3-4 good players who are going to add value to the squad and not necessarily go out there and... By 10 players.
As I hate to say, Pellegrini is being more Mourinho-ish than Mourinho in the transfer.
Yeah.
and Mourinho's weaknesses have been showing.
Yeah, he's looking for the panic button and pressing it everywhere possible.
So, and more interestingly, if you look at the overall picture, what you're looking at is you least expected, let's say, a Manchester United to be the one signing a French teenager for a hefty fee when there is an Arsene Wenger who did not even mention the name or even look at...
Yeah, there wasn't even a rumor on Got Offside which said
Wenger
was looking at him.
Like I said, when United, Ferguson wanted to sign Luka Moura, PSG outbid him and paid 45 million for this kid. And Fergie said it's a crazy world when you have to pay 45 million for an unproven teenager. Well, that's come back to haunt Manchester United, where we paid 36 million for an unproven teenager and the deal might go up to 80 million.
See, that's the thing about Arsenal. At least I can say they're consistent every year.
Who pays
whatever
that much
they
for
do,
potential?
They're consistent at it.
Who pays that much for potential?
Yeah, United have kind of lost the plot, I think.
Yeah.
They, now if they complain about Chelsea and City spending 200 million...
No chance.
They shouldn't.
So which now brings us to, now that the transfer window is shut,
yeah,
and we are about 4 games into the season, now is the time, gentlemen, to put your thinking hats on in terms of where do you see these teams finishing this season, because we fairly have an idea as to what they're going to be doing now.
Provided,
or maybe we don't.
Provided Wenger lets Rojo come back into the squad, that brings Blind out of defence, because Blind cannot defend against solid strikers, which we saw against Gomez against Swansea. I still think we have a good shot at a top 4 finish, because we do have a solid midfield. We do have a decent attacking lineup, but I do not know where the goals are going to come from, honestly, because our midfielders are not goal scoring midfielders. Rooney, as an out and out striker, is a waste of his position. He doesn't. You're pretty much eliminating his game by leaving him in the penalty box. You let Yanuza go. So, I do not know where the goals are going to come from. Depay, I think, has a lot to learn. Well, he's got the talent and everything. I think he's far too wasteful. This is not the Dutch league. He needs to understand when to let go of the ball, for one. So, I do not know. But I think, honestly, I'm putting United at a 5 or a 6 this season.
And Arsenal title contenders? I mean, a lot of people...
I think so. I still think so.
Top 2, probably... I see them fighting for a title, but I'm not sure they're going to win it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure they'll be in the mix around about till March.
So it probably is going to come down to how City handle the pressure from the chasing pack.
I think City are already favourites, clearly. Already 4 games.
City put the marker down. They said, we're not doing anything different. In fact, City are on a 9 game unbeaten streak, so it's not
10
now.
It's 10 now.
It's 10 now, so it's not now. They've started this run since last season, and the signs were there.
Yep.
So he's just gone and strengthened the areas which he need to, and I think they've clearly said, now we want this back. So,
it's basically like one of those stages of the Tour de France where there is a cyclist who has broken ahead and there is a chasing pack, and it's all a question of how much...
It's a matter of which team can now get those results on a consistent basis to catch up.
Yeah.
Because now City have taken the lead. Now the rest of the teams should catch up. Chelsea.
Chelsea are a mess. Chelsea need help. Find them a doctor.
So it's funny that we've talked about teams being in a mess and we have not had to even mention Liverpool, which tells you how...
Yeah, they've gone down the pecking order for now.
How much?
Yeah, like, as much as you think they've signed players...
They're going to sign another 7 in January, possibly.
They'll probably sign more players. The problem is they're not fixing the problem areas.
Is their defense.
You can't fill a problem area by just putting players in there. You need to sign the right players.
So that is Soccer Sense's assessment of the transfer window, specifically focused on the EPL. We shall be bringing you more, especially the action again, once it resumes next week when the international break ends. Of course, we have a lot of big games to talk about then, not least of which is Liverpool versus Manchester United. And in the meantime, this is Tariq signing off from this show, along with Vijay.
Sign someone.
And Vishal.
Come back, Fogi, please.
And a reminder, we can be found on iTunes, so you can go ahead on the iTunes store and search for us at Soccer Sense and subscribe to the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time.